Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. The name of the message is, Who is in Control? Who is in Control? Daniel chapter 4. We'll read the first three verses in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Who is in control? This is a question that many people ask, especially in times like we are living in now. Is the local government in control? Yes, they have power, but there is someone who is higher in authority over them. Is the state government in control? Yes, they have power, but there is someone who is higher in authority over them. Is the federal government in control? Yes, they have power, but there is someone who is higher in authority over them. Is the president in control? Yes, he has power, but there is someone who is higher in authority over him. Look at verse 3 of our text and marvel at what the scriptures declare about our great and glorious God. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Beloved of God, find great comfort here in the scriptures. Our great God, who is described here, became a man. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for the sins of his people, his sheep, at Calvary, and he redeemed them by the shedding of his precious blood. So we can say, as the scriptures proclaim here, how mighty are his wonders. The text declares how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. They are very great, exceedingly great, so great that words cannot speak of how great they are. God's people cannot describe with our words how great our God's works are. Our finite minds cannot even conceive how great works of God are, because these works are the works of the infinite one, the infinite one. And we are in awe of what we see in this world, the mountains, the great lakes, which we have here in Michigan, this wondrous world, which is full of the glory of God, the sun, which comes up each day, and the moon, which comes up each night, the wonder of the stars as you walk out in a starlit night and you look up a clear starlit night, and just the vastness of the stars. And all of this displays God's greatness. All this displays God's wisdom. All this displays God's power, and it also declares his goodness. It displays his goodness. And God's almighty power cannot be stopped. It cannot be abated. He is strong and mighty, the true God, the one true God. And all the power of nature, earth, and hell can do nothing to stop his works of providence, his mighty works of providence, his works and miracles of grace. And truly, the saving of a lost sinner is a miracle of grace. We see also in this text, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 3, that our great God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's reign, although a long one, had an end. Just as all earthly kings, he died. And we see in this text, though, that the kingdom of God is forever. And this is the kingdom also of providence and of grace. This is the kingdom of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In Daniel 2:44, the scriptures declare this. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Let's read verse 3 again, and we see that God's dominion is from generation to generation, or with generation and generation. Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. God's kingdom continues with all generations, and will do so until the end of time, until that great day when our Lord comes back. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19, the scriptures declare, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Our Lord is forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. And our text brings forth the unchangeable nature of God and the unstoppable purposes of God. Think of this, you who are redeemed by the blood of Christ and born again by the Holy Spirit of God, in light of God's faithfulness and mercy in Christ, which has been shown us. Our great God does not change. He is the same in his nature and in his perfections. He is the same in his nature and perfections, in his grace, in his goodness, in his power, in his faithfulness, in his purposes, and in his promises. Everything we see in this world is subject to change and decay, but our great God changes not. He abides the same, without any variableness or shadow of turning. Whether revolutions occur in this world or changes in this world, yet our great God remains firm and unalterable in his counsel and covenant. Material things are subject to decay and fall into ill circumstances. My wife and I like to watch a show called Mystery of the Abandoned. And what they do is they go through different places that were once vibrant and now are left in decay. They're abandoned. Well, our great God, even though those things fall in decay in this world, our great God does not change. He does not change at all. Material things, again, are subject to decay and fall into ill circumstances and may lie in ruins. Yet those things never change the fact of the eternality and unchangeableness of our great God. And this precious truth brings great comfort to the people of God. No matter what comes our way, whether we find ourselves in times of distress, in times of sorrow, in times of seeming despair, beloved, we can always look to the unchangeableness and the faithfulness of our great God. And think of how our great God's faithfulness and unchangeableness was on full display at Calvary's cross. We know God's law and justice is unbending, and it demands satisfaction for the sins of God's people, for the chosen ones of God. And then we see the faithfulness of God on full display. As God had given his people, a chosen people, to Christ in eternity. And it was promised that the Messiah would make an end of sin and bring in everlasting righteousness. And beloved, all this occurred at Calvary's cross when Christ died in the room and place of his people, when he satisfied the law and justice of God in the place of his people. Oh, sinner friend, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him alone. Cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for your eternal soul. May God make it so. Oh, may he make it so. May he make you willing in the day of his power, just as he has for all we who are the people of God. We are but sinners saved by the grace of God, God's amazing grace. Listen to what the scriptures declare about our great God and the powers that be. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Beloved of God, we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. We know that our great God is in full control right now. Right now, even during this time of a global pandemic. And we know that for the believer, all things work together for our good. Romans 8 tells us that. That all things work together for the good for those who are the called, for the people of God. We believe in the divine providence of God, which is God is daily and constantly the sovereign ruler over all things. And all things occur for the accomplishment of his eternal will, and all according to his almighty sovereign will. We daily see unfolding before us the almighty providence and will of God. The God of the Bible is sovereign, eternal, immutable. What he has purposed will come to pass. Will come to pass. It'll come to pass in time, just as God has purposed it to. Never forget, you who are a born-again, blood-washed believer in Christ, that he is the one who has ordained and ordered all things according to his own will, in his good pleasure, all things that come to pass in time. And beloved of God, take great comfort in knowing that this is true of your salvation. And knowing that the God of the Bible, who has ordered all this to come to pass, is the very one who has saved you and will keep you and will one day take you home to be in his presence forever. And it'll all happen by God's almighty power and according to his mercy and grace, which he purposed to show us in eternity. Divine providence is the accomplishment of God's sovereign will and purpose. Providence is God bringing to pass in time, sovereignly, absolutely, and perfectly, what he has purposed in eternity. Providence is also God's execution of his purpose, as nothing in the universe happens by luck, chance, fortune, or accident, or by blind faith. No, beloved, there is not an atom, there is not a molecule, there is not a virus that is not under the dominion of our great God. Everything that comes to pass in time was purposed by God in eternity and is brought to pass by his wise and good providence. Nothing comes to pass in time that God did not purpose in eternity, in sovereign predestination. Nothing comes to pass except that which God sovereignly brings to pass according to his divine will. According to his divine will. Beloved of God, that which God predestinated in eternity and brings to pass in his providence is for the good of his elect and for the glory of his name. We know from the scripture that I mentioned in Romans that this is true. This is clear teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Listen to these verses. Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And then Proverbs 16:33. You know, when World War II, when men were on ships, they used to play dice. And they'd say, oh, that was a lucky roll. Well, listen to this in Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Isaiah 46:9-13. Listen to these wonderful scriptures. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. So that which God speaks, it'll come to pass. That which is written in the scripture is truth. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. That's our natural state, isn't it? That's our natural state. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now Zion, there is the church, and he's placed salvation in Zion, hasn't he? In spiritual Israel. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the object of our faith. Oh, truly, truly our great God has placed salvation in Zion. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, the scriptures declare this. After Nebuchadnezzar had been eating dirt for a little while, he'd been humbled. And remember, in Daniel 4, 3, it's Nebuchadnezzar as well. He's a great king. Some say he was one of the greatest kings that ever lived in sense of domain that he had. And listen to what he writes. After his humiliation, and at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. But he goes on in verse 35 and verse 37. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. All the inhabitants of the earth in God's eyes are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will. You see, he is the one who has free will to do whatever he pleases. We are bound by our nature. But our great God, he does according to his will, the scripture declares in Daniel 4:35, according to his will in the army of heaven, so that's all things above and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? No one can say unto our great God, what are you doing? You see, this is where people who speak against the great doctrines of the scripture, they err and know not the truth of the scriptures. When they say, well, it's up to my free will. No, your will is bound to your nature. So you'll never seek God, the scripture says. You'll never understand the scriptures. No, in our natural state, we do not seek God. Just as the shepherd in Luke 15 sought the lost sheep, that's what the Lord must do for us. He seeks us out. He seeks us out. Oh my. And then Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. And he does. In our natural state, we walk in pride, don't we? Yes, we do. Pride and self-righteousness. And what has he done for his people? He's abased us, hasn't he? Oh, he's abased us. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we see our sinfulness. Oh, we see that we're great sinners, but we also see that Christ is a great Savior, and we flee to him, don't we? We flee to him. Listen to this in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? You see, our president and other leaders in the world, they have advisors, they have counselors, but our great God, he doesn't have no counselors. He doesn't need any counselors. No one tells God what to do. No one. You see, this is what man is saying. They got a false God. Religious man got a false God built up in their imagination who can't do anything. Not so with our God. No, the scripture declares, who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Everything is subject to our great King. And if you're one of the people of God, if you're a born-again believer, blood-washed believer, rejoice, because this is who saved us. This is who became a man. Our great God became a man. 100% God and 100% man. And he died on Calvary's cross. He lived that perfect life, which we never could, as our substitute. And then he went to that cross and he died as our substitute, paying everything that God's law demanded for us, satisfying the justice of God in our place for us. Truly, God's people have been showing mercy and have been showing grace. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. And we'll look at this and have a few more words, and then we'll be finished. Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. How great are his signs, speaking of our great God, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Our great God is not idle. He's not idle. Scriptures declare he never slumbers nor sleeps. He never needs to rest or recuperate like we do. We need to sometimes rest, recuperate, and regroup, don't we? Our great God doesn't need any of that. Not at all. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's God Almighty. He's our great God. He's our Heavenly Father. And he's always at work. And you know what he's doing? He's governing the world. He's governing over the world. Even right now, in the midst of this global pandemic, our Lord, our great God, is on the throne, beloved. He's in full control. He's in full control. He's governing the world as it pleases him. Have you ever heard preachers and religious leaders speak of sickness and poverty and war and famine and earthquakes and death as things over which God has no control? Well, that's just an outright lie. Think upon this. The scripture declares that God so rules over the world, he so rules over the world, and that he has ordained the number of hairs on our very heads. And he so rules over the world that not even a sparrow, which some consider worthless. I love sparrows. I just love watching them and knowing that our great God is taking care of them. Some folks, though, just think they're a worthless bird. But our Lord so governs this world. He so watches over this world that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without his almighty wise decree. And so let we who are the people of God always remember that God's providence is all-inclusive. Our great God rules and governs over everything, great and small, everywhere and always. Our God is in control of all inanimate matter. He who created all things rules all things. I like what one preacher said of old. He said, nothing in God's universe breathes or wiggles contrary to God's decree. And so think upon this. As a wise, skilled pharmacist mixes medicine, our Heavenly Father wisely mixes exactly the right measure of bitter things and sweet to do us good. Too much joy would intoxicate us. Too much misery would drive us to despair. Too much sorrow would crush us. Too much suffering would break our spirits. Too much pleasure would ruin us. Too much defeat would discourage us. Too much success would puff us up. Too much failure would keep us from doing anything. Too much criticism would harden us. Too much failure would keep us from doing anything. Too much praise would exalt us. Our great God knows exactly what we need. His providence is wisely designed and sovereignly sent for our good. Let him, therefore, send and do what he will. By his grace, if we are his, we will face it, bow to it, and accept it, and give thanks for it. God's providence is always executed in the wisest manner possible. We are often unable to see and understand the reasons and causes for specific events in our lives or in the lives of others. Always remember, beloved of God, that our lack of understanding does not prevent us from believing God. No, we by his grace bow to his will, which is evident in his works of providence. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The God of providence rules all things well. How we ought to trust him. Oh, beloved, how we ought to trust him. How we ought to ever remember that our Heavenly Father is God. He's all wise. He's good. He's omnipotent. And he is too wise to err, too good to do wrong, and too strong to fail. So take great comfort, beloved of God, in the eternality and unchangeableness of our God. And take comfort in the times that we find ourselves in now, in these precious, precious truths. And take comfort also in the future when these things pass, because we know these things shall pass. And take great comfort in knowing that our God doesn't change and how he's so faithful to his people. And may we be given grace and strength to say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done.